College Football Hall of Famer and College Football Insider Mark May with Burns and Gambo.
Mayday, before we ask you about ASU and the problems with U of A, Mark May, our College Football Insider, joining us in the Burns and Gambo Show. I want to start with what was kind of the news of the day, if I could, out of college football. Nick Bosa withdrew from school from Ohio State to focus on rehabbing his injury, his core muscle injury, and he will not return to prepare for the draft. Is this an isolated incident, or do you think we're going to see more of this in upcoming years?
We may start seeing more of this. I think Miles Jack did this, a few years ago when he got injured? There's been a couple of players in the past that have done this. Once they've got injured, they just said, I'm done. And I think one of those things where you're looking
at... I don't remember those happening this early in the season, though. And maybe early is relative speaking, but I thought some of those guys did it kind of later in the year, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, some of them did it closer to the bowl season and stuff like that. But I think here's the key. If you know you're going to be a top 10 pick, why risk it? You've already been injured throughout the season. You want to come back for the old college try and all that stuff? Yeah, that sounds great. But look, you're done with college. You've got a future in the NFL for hopefully a decade. You're going to get paid big bucks over the next decade and for your first contract in the NFL being a top 10 pick. That's what you're going to look forward to. That's what you need to make sure that you prepare for. It's great to do the college thing. I understand it. I love college football, and you know that. But the thing is, if you're an individual and you know that you're going to be a high pick in the NFL draft, protect yourself, because you're protecting yourself and your family for your future and your long-term wealth.
I understand it. I mean, I get it. The times have changed. There's a lot of money at stake here. So,
it's not like back when I played, when I was playing for peanuts.
I know. It's true. I mean, the money makes a difference. I mean, you're right. I mean, back in your day, the money wasn't as great, so you didn't even think about it. You didn't even think about it. But now with the money so great, I do understand what these kids are doing.
It's hard to think when you were playing with a leather helmet. I mean, I can't imagine.
Hey. My last couple of years, guys, I did make seven figures.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you did play against Coach Newt Rockne, right?
And Lou Holtz was his coach.
Exactly. All right, let's before we get to ASU, I want to ask you, Pac-12, are they done? I mean, with the Oregon victory over Washington, Washington needed to win. They got some help with LSU beating Georgia, but is the Pac-12 finished for now?
I think they kind of are. They need a lot of things to go their way. If Oregon runs the table and wins out, they've got a shot because everyone...
No, they don't. I totally disagree.
Up with one loss and they win the Pac-12.
There's no way.
The only thing that's going to hurt them is their non-conference opponent.
Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State.
That's the only thing that's going to hurt them.
You can't put them in a playoff.
But here's the thing, Gambo.
You can't.
If everyone cannibalizes each other with two losses, you're still a Pac-12 conference champion. Yes, you can.
You cannot put... The Oregon's already lost to Stanford. They played Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State. Now, again, that's not their fault. They had scheduled who did they schedule that pulled out? They had somebody scheduled that was decent.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But none of these schools are these aren't real schools. Portland State, Bowling Green, and San Jose State. Like you can't put a team in a playoff whose non-conference schedule are those three teams.
So you're telling me if they're Pac-12 conference champions and the Big 12 has a two-loss team and the Big 10 has a two-loss team.
Not putting them in.
And the ACC has a two-loss team and the SEC has a one-loss team.
I'll bet you a ribeye. There's no way that they can put Oregon in. There's no way.
Ooh, I'll take a thick one from Delmonico's.
Whatever. Okay, I'll bet you a ribeye that if they end up undefeated, they cannot go to the playoffs. They played FCS schools.
We'll see, but at the end of the season, remember what they said. This is what the selection committee said. Conference championships matter. And the thing is, that's what may hurt Notre Dame in the end, because they don't play in a conference. We're going to see how the selection committee views Notre Dame at the end of the season.
I think
the BCS when they went undefeated or not?
A two-loss team from the Big 12 gets in over a one-loss team in Oregon.
Wow.
Because Oregon, I mean, come on, man, they didn't play anybody.
But still, you look at the teams in the Big 12, who did they play? Texas got beat by Maryland. Maryland, 2 years in a row. If they end up with two losses and they're the conference champ, you're going to put them in?
Yes.
Oh, good golly.
Yeah.
Mayday, let's move on to ASU. This game against Stanford coming up on Thursday night. Lose this game and they have to win a road game to be bowl eligible. Does that, by default, make this a must-win game for ASU?
Absolutely. And I think look at the remainder of their schedule. This is a must-game. And the key to this is, look at their record. They're undefeated at home. They just can't win on the road. So you look at this game on Thursday night, they've got a great chance to win. You don't know how healthy Bryce Love is because he's got that lower leg injury. And if he does play in this game, all it could take is one tackle and he's out. And they're a totally different football team without him in there. This is one of David Shaw's worst teams overall, I think, Because remember with Stanford, they always had the two tight ends, the three tight end package where they just pound you into submission and run the ball for 250 yards a game. They're not that team anymore. They're throwing the ball more with Costello, and they're using their big wide receivers and tight ends on the outside, but they just can't consistently run the football. That's going to hurt them. On the other side of the coin, if you look at Arizona State, they can run the ball because Eno Benjamin's done a great job the last two or three games. Manny Wilkins, if you look at his numbers, they're still up there. He only has one interception on the season and 11 touchdowns, so they've got the offense to compete with Stanford and to beat Stanford. They just have to get it done on both sides of the ball, and it all depends what type of team Stanford shows up with on Thursday night. I still like Arizona State in this game, and I think Herman and his crew's going to get it done.
Thursday night game, so you know, there's always something crazy about these Thursday night games. Stanford doesn't look like they're, you know, the powerhouse team that David Shaw has had so many years. But ASU loses this game. We and Burns, you've talked about this. They've got to win three games to be bowl eligible. If they lose this game, it means they're going to have to go win one on the road.
Yep.
And although they've played teams close on the road, they have not won on the road yet.
Well, I still think they have opportunities if you look at the rest of the schedule. UCLA, we don't know. They're getting better, but they're still not that good. Utah's so up and down. They're Jekyll and Hyde.
Utah's
and Arizona's
good.
Arizona's not good.
I believe in Utah. They're good.
They got beat by Washington State.
Washington State could put up a lot of points.
They haven't played anybody.
They could put up a lot of points. I'm just saying they could put up a lot of points.
They could put up a lot of points, but they already lost to USC.
Okay, Texas beat USC. You were ripping on Texas before.
Yeah, the USC isn't that good. They're playing a freshman quarterback, and they've got a lot of people injured, and they're one of the most penalized teams in the nation.
I mean, Washington State, I'm not saying that they're a great football team, but they beat Utah.
They're tough at home at the Palouse. We all know that. That's a nasty environment to play in, and nobody wants to go there to play. So that's going to be a tough game for Oregon this week.
Has USC, Mark May, our college football insider here on the Burns and Gambo show, do you think USC has reasserted itself as the leader in the Pac-12 South?
I think they're probably the team to beat right now, but there's really no team that's a front runner the way they beat Colorado. Colorado, if you look at their schedule, they hadn't beaten a team with a winning record, and USC just has better talent than Colorado from top to bottom. If you look at this game, USC's defense didn't play that great, but they had some big plays in the game. Their offense didn't rush the ball well. They had 62 yards on the ground, and all the penalties that they had in this football game. Now, there's a lot, when you look at this team, there's a lot of youth, there's a lot of good athletes. They have to get everybody healthy. They're coming off the bye week. If they can get better each and every week, and I think Clay Helton will do that, they're going to be tough at the end of the season, but he's playing a lot of young players on that program.
I was shocked, and if I knew this, I had forgotten this. They have not lost at home under Coach Helton. They have not lost a single game at home under Coach Helton. I was not aware of that.
He's doing a good job. He's doing a solid job. Everybody's trying to run him out of that job. You know, everyone I talk to, even my dentist,
Clay Helton fired?
Yeah, he wants him fired. He wants him fired at the beginning of the season after the first 3 weeks. It's like, come on, Stoey, really? You know, give the guy a chance. A couple of years ago you wanted him fired and he took you to the Rose Bowl. Just be patient. It's early in the season. You know, for some reason the USC fans think that they're Alabama now, that every week, just because of their history, they're going to go undefeated and be in the top five. It just doesn't happen that way.
This is the best Saban team that I've ever seen. I mean, they've had great teams. This one's ridiculous. Notre Dame, does it hurt them a little bit that they played such a weak opponent this week? Does the quality of opponent, I mean, to get to 7-0, they beat a patsy. Does it hurt them that their strength of schedule this week was so low with their victory over Pitt?
Let me tell you one thing in that game if you break that game down. That game was a home cook officiating disaster.
Here we go.
Tell you what, if you looked at the pass interference calls that were called against Pittsburgh, it was a joke and they wouldn't call on the other side. Here's one thing. The rules expert for NBC in the booth on the personal foul of roughing the passer said exactly these words because I wrote it down for Lou. I wouldn't have made that call.
You wrote that down for Lou?
I wrote
it
down. Because I had to go back and contour it. It was like, he said that. I want to make sure I wrote down exactly what he said. He said, I wouldn't have made that call.
All right,
but
so
the thing is, if you look at Notre Dame, hey, Pittsburgh had a great defense. Pat Narduzzi did a terrific job of taking away the reads of Ian Book from left to right. He couldn't make his first read or his second read. They took those away at a difficult time throwing the ball in that game. And Notre Dame, look, Pitt held them to 80 yards rushing, and Pitt killed them in the return game. They had 144 return yards, and Notre Dame's 12.
All right, Mayday. The Mayday payday has not paid a whole lot these days. So
going the other way against the Mayday payday.
What's your Mayday payday week?
James Franklin said we need to be an elite program. They just came off a 1-point loss at home to Ohio State. They got Michigan State coming to Happy Valley, and they laid an egg. Their quarterback, Trace McSorley, had 640 yards or whatever against
Man, can you just get one right? Like, literally, can you get one right?
I'm giving you one right right now.
I mean, just one. Like, I mean,
Oklahoma
you're open
the
season.
Oklahoma's given a touchdown at TCU. Ruffin McNeil's the new defensive coordinator. Guess what? They're going to roll over TCU in this football game because they've got a new defensive coordinator, and Mike Stoops is finally out of there.
All right, so basically, based on your predictions, just take TCU and you'll be in the
money. And you'll run to the bank,
Campbell. Run to the damn bank. Mayday, payday.
Thanks, Mayday. We appreciate it.
I'd rather have the payday candy bar than your pick.
Mark May, our college football insider, brought to you by Brakes Plus. They are the brakes expert. Come experience the Plus. Visit BrakesPlus.com to schedule your appointment today.